What's up, fam? It is Ali Shinaki, and welcome back to my podcast. I am so excited that y'all are here. I believe that the Lord has brought you here because he has a word he wants to speak specifically to you today. So I hope y'all are excited and ready to see God move and speak into your lives. But before we even get started, do not forget to subscribe and click the download button. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on anything God is doing here or miss out on any of the new podcasts coming out. So make sure y'all subscribe and download and drop a review. I'd love to hear what you guys want to hear next and what you guys are thinking about the podcast. Let's get started. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to my podcast. Today I have one of my favorite people on the podcast with me, Jacob Peterson, who literally is the most incredible speaker ever. I love hearing Jacob speak. You want to introduce yourself quick, Jacob?
Yeah, hi guys. My name is Jacob Peterson. I'm really excited to be here. I actually moved down to Florida like 2 weeks ago, and it's been incredible seeing God move here and doing a lot of really cool stuff. So I'm really excited to be on the podcast with Ali today, and we're going to be touching on some really cool topics.
So before we even started, I was just talking to Jacob and I was like, dude, how do you want me to introduce you? Because like, there's so many different things that Jacob does. And so I wanted to know like what he wants to be known as. And guys, he didn't even tell me to introduce him like this. He literally said however I wanted. But I found out before we even started that Jacob last year, or was it last year? He preached in 30 different states. 30 different states. Is that true? 30?
Yeah. Around 30. Yeah, it's about 30.
That is insane. Yeah. I haven't even been to 30 states.
Yeah. We did. Now, not all of them were organized speaking events, but they were with different organizations, different churches and stuff like that. And so, yeah, last year we went to about 30 different states and I did preaching relating stuff in almost every single one. So it's been incredible. God's taken me to some crazy, crazy places. I mean, from Hawaii to Florida to Texas to just, you know, anywhere you can basically imagine. And one thing is for sure, and it's the gospel is moving across the nation.
That's true. And today we have the honor of having Jacob on our podcast. After having been all around the world, now he is on the floor in my room on the Ali Shinaki podcast and sharing his heart with our fam. And honestly, Jacob, I've never asked this to somebody on my podcast before, but I want to know, like, what is your go-to verse? Like, do you have like a go-to verse for your life?
Yeah, I do. So I actually used to have the verse Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me as my like my heart verse, my memory verse. But recently, actually, I changed that, and it is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4-7. And I want to go ahead and read this for you guys. It says this. It says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked or thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." And I recently changed this just because I've been to so many places where people have tried to spread the gospel and really just be very forceful with what they're doing.
Right.
And I think about Jesus's ministry, and I think about the woman caught in the act of adultery.
Right.
And she's caught in this act of adultery. She knows it. Jesus knows it. All of her persecutors around her know it. And Jesus, instead of condemning her, he comes down to her level and he says, "Thou who has not sinned shall throw the first stone." And one by one, everybody drops their stones. And he says, you know, "Just as I have not condemned them, I will not condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Where are your persecutors at?" And so I think as Christians, that is something that we have lacked for so long. And unfortunately, Christianity has hurt some people. The church has hurt some people. And that is not the heart of God, but that is just sinful people in nature. And so that has become my heart verse for so long, because I think it is so crucial to show people love before we can even introduce them to somebody so great as Jesus as our Savior.
That is so powerful, and it's so true, and that's so crazy you brought that up, because I was literally laying in my bed this morning. Do you ever feel like God is like, you're just laying there sometimes or driving, and God will like randomly hit you with something, like random. You're not even like thinking about, like, honestly, you should be meditating on the word, but you're not, and you're just like laying there. I was laying in my bed this morning, and I feel God told me, "Ali, nobody cares about your words until you've loved them." And it's true.
Yeah.
Like, you can get on a stage, you can share the message of Jesus with the whole entire world, but if you're not going and loving people, just like how Jacob talked about in those verses. What are those verses?
It's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7.
I would encourage you guys to go write them down on like a sticky note or something and go and put them in your car or wherever you see them every single day, because that's something I've had to train myself to do so that it realigns my heart and my focus for the day with God's mission for my life. Because above all else, like, love is what is important. Love is what's going to change hearts. Love is what's going to create open doors for people to give us their ear to like really receive the message of Jesus and not just, oh, they're just another person that's sharing a message that doesn't really live out the life.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want us to be that.
No, we don't want to be complacent in our faith. Like,
no.
I think a lot of us have become so complacent. We've become comfortable where we're at in our faith, and we're not living on action. And I think a lot of the times we think about the Holy Spirit, and we think about God leading us to do things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of times that little voice in the back of our head, we tend to ignore it. And I've done that too, whether it's going into the gas station and seeing a homeless man on the side, you know, going up to pray for him is one of the simplest, most loving things I can do, but I'll sometimes ignore that. And I tell myself all the time that delayed obedience is disobedience. When we don't actually act when the Holy Spirit is calling us to, and we delay and say, oh, you know what, God, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Well, just say we end up doing it. Great. We did. We went, we ran the race, and we went and we prayed over that man. But delayed obedience is still disobedience. And I want my heart to be in a posture where I'm saying, God, I'm laying everything down. And as you call me, as the Holy Spirit leads me, I'm going to do.
True. I remember when I was in school, and God constantly calls us to lay hands on one another. It's like a call of Christians to pray for one another and to love one another. But when I was in school, and I remember God, like, do you ever have that feeling when you were like in school and God was like, oh, pray for that random person. You're like, I am going to die.
No, for sure.
Like, I am literally, first of all, I don't know what to say. Second of all, it's my teacher. Like, that is so awkward. This teacher doesn't even like me. She's going to think I'm like being disrespectful or something. Like, this woman needs God. And so I remember God would bring this up to me all the time, where he just put it on my heart to pray for a random person, and every single excuse that like was known to man would just flood my mind. Oh, Allie, God did not really call you to do that. You know, that is just you thinking of the worst thing possible to do right now. That will make you the most uncomfortable. You did not really have to do it. And I remember one time one of my mentors told me, if the call is calling you to do something that is going to expand the kingdom and grow your faith, you can know it's from God and not from the enemy. Because the enemy will never call you to step out in a way that's going to advance the kingdom. And ever since somebody told me that, I was like, you know what? You can't make excuses for yourself. Because if we really want to be used as God's vessels and not just be, you know, the recipient of like salvation, then we have to be able to step out in faith and like really, really grow ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. I heard this quote one time on the radio. I don't even remember who said it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. And it says this. Says you can be the smartest kid on the block, but without Jesus in the equation, you're just a fool without any wisdom. And you guys might sit here and you might be like, what does that mean? Like, I really don't understand that. And it's as simple as this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's Proverbs 1:7. And so there comes a point where, yes, our God is this beautiful, merciful, and loving God, but we also have to remember that our God is a God of wrath. And if we choose to live outside of his will, there is consequences that come to that. And so something I've been learning recently too is I have to fear God. And like, that's a concept that a lot of people do not think about. Like, I have to constantly be being in this heart posture of, I know at the end of the day, he is the final and only person to judge me and the actions I have on this earth. And so in this, I should fear his ability to condemn me and judge me and ultimately sentence me to hell. But I should also love and be so firm in the fact that that's not what he wants to do. Like, that's not his heart at all. Right. He wants to love us. He wants to take us in as his sons and daughters, because he is an all-loving father who at the end of the day just wants us to live by his will and on mission. We think about Matthew 28, the mandate to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have so many simple commands in the Bible, but the ultimate thing that prevents all of us from doing this is we don't want to lay down our own self-pride and our own self-wants to do something for such a greater cause.
Fire! Dude, I told you guys were in for a treat today. Jacob is like literally a walking furnace of God's fire, just like flying from all directions. I am so excited that you're on our podcast today. What in the world? But today, me and Jacob were just kind of like talking about what we felt like, not like what we were good talking about, but what we felt like God wanted us to share with you guys today. And I feel like something he's been stirring up in our hearts, but also to share with you guys, is how to really reach Generation Z. And for those of you guys that don't know what Gen Z is, it refers to the generation born between 1997 through 2012 and the following millennials after that. So I actually Googled, like, why is it important to reach Gen Z? And when you Google Gen Z and you talk about the Generation Z, there's a ton. It's not just like a Christian thing. We need to reach them. It's like literally the whole entire world is seeking the attention of the upcoming generation.
Yes.
And so I literally looked up the strategies that marketing firms have for reaching Generation Z. And this is how they refer to them. They said, Generation Z is a group of individuals that usher a set of new expectations. They are the future leaders. And that's why it's so important for us to really seek their hearts. And it's us.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, it's me and Jacob's age.
Yeah. This is like our ballpark.
It's our people.
It is. And that's, you know, the coolest thing is because we have the ability to make an impact in our generation. We have the ability to be the change in the world because we have Christ. And people can see that. Like, that should be visible just through our actions.
True.
You know, we shouldn't have to go up to somebody and tell them that we're a Christian for them to know that we're a Christian.
Right.
It should be visible through our actions, the way that we love people, the way that we hold ourselves and our stature. I think that's so important. Like, we can't live this life where we're putting on a mask. Mm-hmm. That way people can see right through it and say, you know what? No, I actually don't think that's your intention. I don't think that's your way to live. Instead, we should throw that mask off and say,
true,
God, I'm all for you. And everything else that's going to be thrown against me, I know that you will prevail and you will protect me against if I'm walking in your will.
That is so true. It's so true. And I don't know about y'all, but the world is over fakeness. I'm over fakeness. Nobody wants to see a mask anymore. Nobody wants like this level of perfection. You even look at, you know, the things that are trending right now, and it's no longer like the perfect like build. It's no longer like the perfect whatever. It's literally like everyone's about body positivity, embracing people for who they are. Like, God literally has a purpose for us in this season as like people that are in Generation Z to just step out and really be real, because there's a lot of people that are scared of their faith, and yeah, being scared of your faith is not going to make an impact.
No.
You know?
And two, I want to validate those feelings. Like, fear is normal. But I think about the story of Gideon, right? And Gideon in the Old Testament, God found him inside of a wine press, like pressing barley, trying to make wheat. And he was the most scared person in the world. And God takes him from hiding in a wine press to being the leader of this army who wins a battle. And Gideon, the entire time, was so untrusting that God would pull through, that God would deliver him from this battle, that they would come out victorious. Yet he did. And that's the truth for all of us, is he is going to use the most unlikely people. He's going to use people like me and you. Like, this whole generation, the people watching this podcast, you can be used by God if you choose to say, yes, I'm going to lay my yes on the table and I'm not going to look back. I was looking up statistics earlier today, and 4% of Gen Z has a biblical worldview. And that means that
4%?
4%. And that means that 4% of Gen Z, 4% of Gen Z reads their Bible, prays daily, and follows Christ according to biblical standards.
What in the world?
And before that, the millennials, 17%. Like, and the generation before that, I don't even know what that generation is called.
No.
60%. We are in desperate need for a move and revival of the gospel, because people are falling away from God every single day. And it breaks my heart, because the ultimate cure, we think about all these things that are going on in our lives right now. We think about how we can make ourselves feel better, how we can look up and find better ways to look. And the truth is this, guys. The truth is this, and it's as simple as this. Number one, we should not find our validation in anybody else except Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what anybody else says to you, that's not true. Because Christ sees you as made beautifully and perfectly in his image. And so if you're ever having self-doubt about anything, remember, your validation comes from the Father and not from your friend group around you at all. The next thing is this. We are broken people meant to be used for a greater mission and a greater purpose.
Yeah.
Isaiah 30, 21. The verse, it doesn't exactly go like this, but it talks about you can take a step out to the left and take a step out to the right. And after this, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the direction, walk in it. We were talking about fear earlier, and sometimes in order for us to take a step of faith, we need to just do it. Even if we don't hear a confirmation before, having God say, yes, this is correct. Sometimes it takes our intuition and discernment. And for you guys who don't know what discernment is, it's listening to the Holy Spirit and deciding, you know what? Yes, maybe I should walk in this direction. Or you know what? Maybe this is a lie from the devil. Maybe I shouldn't walk in this direction.
And it might not even be an audible sound.
No.
Like, it's literally when you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, it's a check in your spirit. It's a gut feeling. You'll know what it is. It's the difference between when you used to party before you were saved to when you're partying after, and you don't feel the same. You don't enjoy things the same. Mm. That is what the Holy Spirit is.
That is what the Holy Spirit is. That's correct. And it takes discernment to step out. But once you step out and God comes in and confirms that and says, yes, you're walking in the right direction, then you better run that race with endurance. Think about Romans 12. It talks about running the race that God has set before us. We need to run the race that God has set before us with complete endurance. Something I ask myself all the time is, all right, Jacob, you got this race that God has set before you, but why are you walking? Why are you walking? You're here on this earth for a purpose. Let us not waste a single minute that we have. Let us not just jog the race.
We need urgency.
Just go half. We need urgency. There is an urgency in this generation to sprint, to run the race as fast as we can with endurance and do our best.
I'm Dana Perino. Join me for my brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. As we analyze the 2024 election cycle, make sure you subscribe to this series on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts, and leave me a rating and review.
I know sometimes, a lot of the times, like, we'll try to do things half. We'll like get in this mentality. Yeah, we'll get in this mind space of, you know what, I don't have to do this to the best of my ability. I'm just going to kind of half it, you know. That's not the mentality we should have at all.
Mm-mm.
When we give our yes to God, we know, and we should know, that we are laying everything down and we are going on mission and we are running this race with endurance. And with Gen Z, we are in urgent need of that.
Obviously, you said it's what, 4%?
4%.
There is a 96-4 ratio right now. That is absolutely crazy. If that doesn't put like a perspective, the fear of God, and an urgency in your spirit, I don't know what else will, because I'm so over like living in just the mindset that, oh, someone else will do it. Someone else will do it. And I just wanted to speak to you guys too. God qualifies you. You don't qualify yourself, but God has already chosen you. He will fill you with what he knows that you need to walk in the purpose that he has for your life. Yes. And I think it's so crazy that Jacob brought up Gideon, because I was just about to bring up Gideon. Like when you were speaking. And what's cool about Gideon is God did not go to Gideon and speak to him about his current situation. You know, Gideon was scared. He was hiding. He was literally like running away, like in a hole, so that people didn't find him. Yeah. And when God found him, he said, "Oh, mighty warrior." He didn't say, "Oh, fearful man that's hiding from the world and just doing his own little thing." No, he said, "Oh, mighty warrior."
Yeah.
And there's so much power in speaking not only life over ourselves, but over the members and the people around you that are in Gen Z, and honestly, that are you're just in contact with.
Oh, yeah.
Because every single person, whether in Gen Z or not, like Gen Z or not, can change the world and has an impact. Like, if you're older than us, oh my gosh, like, please, I want to be connected to you. Like, let's grow together. Let's gain wisdom together. Let me learn from your wisdom so that I don't have to walk through things that you did. Like, that is how the body of Christ really excels together. But just to continue on with what I was saying, God does not speak to our current position, but to the potential that he has placed within us. If your creator, the one who literally knows every single part about you, has called you, you are capable. He knows what it takes, and he knows that with him, you have more than everything that it takes. And the only thing that will disqualify you from reaching a limitless God's plans for your life is the own limitations that you've placed on yourself. And like, it's true. Our limitations about what we think we're capable of and what we think God can do are the only things that will hold us back from God really using us as the vessel he's created us to be.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, no. And just to reaffirm that, think of Acts 1:8. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you accept Christ into your life, right? It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And what does it mean to be a witness? That means to publicly profess the name of Jesus in a crowd of two or three or more. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you have been given the power. You have been given the confidence. You have been given the authority to preach the gospel, to go across the nations, and to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to go and to serve, to go and to show the love that Christ has given you. I want people to look at me and say, where in the world does your joy come from? I want some of it.
Yeah.
Do you know how powerful that is?
Yeah.
People try to fulfill themselves with everything else in the world. You think about Galatians 5, fruit of the flesh and fruit of the spirit. People take all of the fruits of the flesh, drunkenness, envy, all of it, and they try to fulfill themselves day after day, and it just leaves them feeling more and more broken. They try to fill their depression, their anxiety with something. They just want to tangibly feel something. When at the end of the day, the only thing that is going to fulfill us is Christ. That Amen. It is the ultimate cure. It is the say all, be all. He will fulfill us more than anything else could. And so, even as you guys are listening to this podcast, if you guys deal with any of these issues, if you guys have any of these feelings, if you guys are dealing with some of these things, I want you to know, first off, that your feelings are real. Some of these things are really, really hard to go through. Depression, anxiety, lust, it is tough. It is a spiritual battle day in and day out, and your feelings are valid. But let me tell you something. When you put your complete trust in God, and you say, God, I want all of you, and I want more of you. Those feelings of anxiety, depression, lust can be cured. Our God isn't just a God that meets our needs. He exceeds them day after day after day. And he will leave you amazed day after day.
It's true. There's no end to what God has for us. Like nobody has ever reached, this always encourages me so much. Like nobody, not even the people like in the Bible, have ever reached the end of God. Like he is constantly pouring out, constantly providing new revelations, constantly showing us how much more that he loves us. He loves us to an amount that we can't even comprehend. Like it is absolutely insane what God has in store for those who love him. It really is just like the scripture talks about. And as Jacob was talking, I was just reminded of what we were talking about earlier about how if we really want to impact this world, we have to be free first and we have to be real. And I remember I grew up in a Christian church. And I've always kind of heard the word of God and like, I believed it because I'd seen it true in those that I loved's lives. But I really had never experienced it for myself. And I was bound by so much fear and so much, you know, the bondage of comparison is so strong. Maybe you go through that. Just so much was going on, just weighing me down from all that God had for me. And I remember I bought into the lie for so long, just thinking, oh, well, God will still use me, even though I'm holding on to this bondage. But it's not true. God wants somebody that is a vessel, like he can use you, but never even close to the extent that he wants to use you when you cast your burdens and your cares on him. When you run free, I think about like a runway, right? Like let's say a track race or let's say a swimming pool. I remember when I was in swim. During conditioning season, we used to have to put on like a crap ton of clothes. Like we would swim in socks, we would swim in sweatpants and in like sweatshirts. And I'm telling you, we were drowning. Yeah. Like it dramatically like decreased our speed because we had all of this weight on us, right? And we still got it done, but we were in last place, like, but we were conditioning. It made us stronger. And I think about that and kind of correlation to what I was talking about our burdens that we're carrying and we're holding on ourselves. God wants to take off those saggy sweatpants, the saggy sweatshirt, the socks, and like let you completely just fly into the plans that he has for you with urgency. And until we give those things to him and cast those things on him, we're literally making life so much harder for ourselves.
Seriously. And when you say that, I think about it, like if you don't take those things off, you're drowning in sin.
You're literally drowning, and it's exhausting.
It is.
And it's discouraging because you see everyone else getting faster than you, and you're just like kind of just sitting there trying your hardest, but you're not getting anywhere.
Saying, why God?
Why God? Why me? Why? And there's all these excuses, yeah. You know? But what's even cooler about that is no matter how long you've kept these burdens, as soon as you give them to God, not only are you going to gain traction and gain speed, but all of those clothes and all of that baggage that you've been carrying is actually going to make you stronger. And he's going to be able to use that for his kingdom and the things that you've gone through to set others free, because not one part of your story is by accident or is useless.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. I think as we come to a close here, I just want to say one more thing. And this is really, really important because a lot of people do not actually know what the gospel is. And so let me give you guys an analogy. You and a friend, you and another person are in a house, and this house is on fire. You both know the house is on fire. You know the way out. The other person doesn't. And you're both looking very hard. What do you do? What do you do in this situation? The obvious answer would be you would grab him and you would show him the way out. You would tell him, this is the way. Here's the door. Walk in it. And how much does that relate to the lives we're in? We have the cure to salvation. We have the way, the truth, and the light. You see, this is how simple it is. God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to come to this earth to fulfill his ministry, to share the good news. He then went, died on a cross, resurrected 3 days later, leaving all sin, brokenness, and despair in the depths of hell, rose again and ascended into heaven so that every single one of us could escape this house of fire that we live in from our sin and spend eternity with the Father. So every time that you go around this entire earth, think about this analogy. We are living in a house on fire, a generation where people are drowning in their sin and are lost and have no clue where the exit door is to finally be happy, to finally be in a place where they are fulfilled because they have found the love of Christ.
And free.
And they are free. And the answer is this: the house is on fire. They don't know the way out, but you do. Show them the door. God is going to continue to knock on the door of our hearts, and it is our job to answer. So that's my encouragement to you. Use the gospel as simple as a story, an analogy like that, the house on fire, because the gospel is so powerful, and the gospel is what is going to transform lives. And that, my friends, that is the gospel.
That is the gospel. And I'd encourage you too. I know some of you guys are probably in the place where you're like, okay, but how do I realistically take all of this and like apply it to my life to reach people? And I would just encourage you, number one, seek the heart of God, and he will put on your heart, place on your heart ideas and wisdom about how he wants you personally to step out in faith, because it's going to look different depending on each person, because God uses us all in different ways to advance his kingdom. And before we end, you guys know I like to kind of give you guys some examples that maybe you can pray over and step out in. But when I looked up earlier how to reach Gen Z, these were the top four marketing strategies that the world has on how to reach our generation. And it's number one, dropping traditional marketing methods. So going out and actually praying for someone and inviting them to church and actually loving on someone is not traditional. If you put your hands on someone, if you go and say, hey, listen, I don't know you, but I love you, you're going to see people like it looks like they saw a ghost.
No,
like
yeah.
People, some people that you've come into contact with have never even heard those words in their life. Mm-hmm. And that's just the sad truth. You think there's no way, but you also think there's no way that 4% of our generation is living with God every single day.
Yeah.
But it's the reality, you know? So that's number one. Number two, quick and effective. Average attention span of a person is 8 seconds. Share what God's done in your life. That's what I would tell you guys. Like, facts tell, but stories sell. Like, we can go and we can preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, but if you've had a life change, I would encourage you to go and share what God's done in your life, because I don't know about y'all, but when I heard testimonies of how God was faithful in times of need, it inspired my faith like nobody else's business. So I would just say, be real about like the hard times in your life and the times where God came through. I mean, I think about the verse Matthew 5:15, when it says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Talking about houses again, like, we need to, number one, take what God's done in our lives and like process it so we really know that it's God. We have to be aware that, okay, God, I prayed over this. Now you fulfilled it. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to intentionally share it with the rest of the world because your story is powerful. Number three, use each platform differently. The world is on social media right now. To be in the world, but not of the world, I strongly believe we need to be on social media. And this is something I didn't believe 2 years ago. I didn't even like being on it. But God has just opened my eyes. If we really want to impact the world and the masses for God, we need to begin to ask God how to use each platform that He has given each of us, because we're all leaders to someone, to glorify His kingdom, whether it's you sharing a post, whether it's you stepping out and speaking, whether it's you blogging, singing a worship song. God will put desires on your heart according to your talents and your gifts and abilities He's given you. And then number four, the last strategy, was be a business that they can look up to. And I love this one because this one is, I believe, the most impactful. And if you think about it this way, like, why would someone follow our God if we aren't living lives appealing or set apart or more full than theirs? This doesn't mean we have to fake anything. God brings enough joy and like is enough, has enough power that it attracts others itself. But it's our willingness to feed that joy and to share it with those around us that makes like a difference and will actually impact people. So just like Jacob said, we know the door out. Like, I'm so thankful that we are of the few that actually know the door. And I just encourage you guys, share that this week. I challenge you to go out and pray for God to give you an opportunity to grow your faith, because that really is how we're going to reach the world one by one and change this generation.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But man, it's been so much fun having Jacob on this podcast.
This has been amazing. This has been a conversation that I've been wanting to have for a long time, because people need to understand the situation that we're in. And people need to understand that they can be used by God to fulfill this greater mission. So I'm really glad that we sat down and had this conversation.
And do not let this fall on deaf ears, y'all. Do not be encouraged by this and then move on throughout the rest of your week carrying the same baggage that you had, you know, holding on to the same labels that you're not qualified that you did. Take this message, because it wasn't from us, it was from God, and go out, hold on to God's word, hide it in your heart, and literally claim this as your identity, because this is how God sees you. You are chosen by Him. There are amazing plans for your life. He qualifies you. You can be free through the Holy Spirit if you keep enduring. You are a light on like a hilltop. You're like, you are the salt of the earth. You really are. Like, these are promises over your life. But I love you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys know I believe in you so big. I cannot wait for the next podcast and just to see what God has in store for this year. But I'm going to pray us out real quick. Dear God, thank you so much for Jacob, Lord, and his willingness and just wisdom that you've just imparted him with, God, to share your word. And I just thank you, Lord, that you spoke today and that not one word that was spoken, Lord, will fall on deaf ears, Lord, but that you will have a major harvest from this message, Lord God, that we will receive DMs, God, and just messages and emails about how the people listening to this broadcast or listening to this podcast went out and used what they learned today and just impacted the world and the community around them, God. And I thank you that you've trusted us all, Lord, with your gift of salvation, God, to go and share it to the ends of the earth, Lord. And we just love you and we praise you, God. And we're so unworthy of you, God. We thank you that you've called and chosen us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We love y'all. Until next week.
Peace.
Thank y'all so much for hanging with us today. It was so much fun having you be a part of our conversation. I hope the podcast today brought you joy, life, and that you got to hear your Heavenly Father speak directly into your life. Before this podcast ends, do not forget to click the download button and to subscribe so you do not miss out on any further episodes or any fun things going on. And also drop a review. I would love to hear what you guys want to hear in the future and see what God is doing in your life right now. I love y'all. You're chosen by God. There are amazing plans for your life. Until next time.